You're listening to TJ Talks. This podcast probably is going to contain a lot of explicit language, so you're forewarned. Welcome to TJ Talks. I'm Judd.
And I'm Teresa.
And we are actually in some of our best recording mode today that we've been in for a while, I think.
Our smooth, dulcet tones have never been more smooth or dulcet.
Mumble, mumble, mumble.
Mumble. We're ready to mumble.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So lots of stuff going on. Heck, Toastmasters for me. I just won Area 20 contest.
Right. Let me put a little props out there in the universe for you. Judd is an active member of Toastmasters, as I have been in the past. And Judd recently competed, like within the last 24 hours.
Yeah.
In an area contest, mm-hmm. which is a big deal. There's how many clubs participating?
Well, there's supposed to be four, but we had three contestants. So
folks. Yeah. And you came out on top with your speech entitled
For the Power of Good.
For the Power of Good. And in a nutshell, what was your speech about?
My speech is about using your voice in the current media, social media, for doing good things. So, and I open it up talking about Martin Luther King Jr. and how he used the media of the day to project his voice for the power of good. And that has continued to resonate to this day. And
that's a fascinating topic in and of itself. Can you imagine someone like Martin Luther King, a communicator of that substance, being able to use social media the way we have it now? That's an interesting idea.
Well, you look at the people who have the same kind of reach that Martin Luther King had back in the day.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't really get it. This was where I was originally going, but because I had feedback from some people, they said, well, there's a lot of people who are not really, they don't get social media. So I needed to use a anchor in my in my speech, because it's kind of a know your audience thing. So you have older people. So you want
at Toastmasters, you got all the oldsters.
You
right?
do, yeah. you do. So
including
I,
myself.
So you I anchored it with something that they were very familiar with, which is that speech, the "I Have a Dream" speech. Someone like I took him out of the speech. Leonardo DiCaprio. He has over a million something followers on Twitter. He does not tweet a lot, but when he does, his tweets get plenty of resonation out there in the world. They're seen by all those people. I mean, look at Justin Bieber, who is like, what, the number one guy on Twitter? Or used to be, I don't know if he is.
Yeah, somebody just beat him. Miley Cyrus did, right?
Could be.
Okay, first of all, we're talking about the power of communication that Martin Luther King had versus now we've got Justin Bieber and Miley Cyrus leading the world in Twitter. That's just so
But here's the thing. You get someone like a Leonardo DiCaprio who talks, when he does a tweet, it'll be about saving animals in Africa that are endangered species. That's how Leonardo DiCaprio uses his power of reach with his fan base. It isn't about, hey, check it me drinking at the bar. You know, here's a boob shot. Here's a crotch shot. That's not what
just described my last 20 tweets. So,
right.
All right, but moving on to more powerful tweets and better tweeters, yes.
Right. So I was trying to make this analogy that if you have the power, you got to use it for the power of good. And so then I talked a little bit about that. And then I showed, you know, you see those typical signs. Hold on. I have it here.
And of course, you're doing your whole speech with a time limit, so you only have a certain amount of time. And if you don't know about Toastmasters, Toastmasters actually flashes you a stoplight if you've gone over. Oh, yes. So Judd's holding up a sign that says, if I can get 1 million likes for Toastmasters, my friends will try to get over their fear of public speaking. That is a great thing. You should totally put that on Facebook.
I need
that'd
to.
That'd be awesome. Yes.
Yeah. So I will, actually. I should do that.
You're right. Those kinds of things are propagated and retweeted and reposted ad nauseum sometimes, right?
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times it's stuff for the good. So I like that part of social media. I really do.
And so that's what – and then I talked a little bit about Darcy, our friend Darcy, who had her nephew was abducted and how we all retweeted about that, trying to get her nephew back safe and sound. which was a great thing that we were able, that happened.
It worked.
He came and he was recovered, you know. And then I just talked about the one-on-one thing. You know, people, they have parents who pass away. They have kids that need prayers in the hospital. Whether you believe in the power of prayer or not, that's not what it's about. It's about supporting your friends, letting people know that you care.
I do. I think that that's very powerful. But let me ask you this. If you were in great turmoil, would you put it on Facebook? Because I've seen it a lot that, you know, oh, I don't feel great, or things aren't going well, or my life sucks, or this or that. And so, yes, you want to be responsive and say, oh, I'm feeling for you and I really want you to feel better. But then I'm thinking, I don't really need to see that. Is that horrible of me?
Well, I have 450 friends, I think, or something like that on Facebook.
Still popular.
That ain't because I'm popular. It's just because I have a lot of acquaintances on there as well as friends now. And I would say that my circle of friends, of closer friends, is smaller than my circle of acquaintances.
Right, but don't you get tired? You've had those people posting nothing but negative and nothing but, oh, my life sucks. I kind of have to stop.
Oh, if it's regular. But what my point is if it's, you know, normally they're just posting funny things all of a sudden, then there's a really, you know, obviously something bad going on.
Right.
Then you say, oh, well, you know, hey, I'm with you. Let me know if there's something I can do. Or you can kind of tell, read between the lines. If I posted something like that, I would be surprised if I didn't get anybody calling my house.
Because you're usually positive. So if you post something negative.
Right.
If that means it's pretty, yeah. No, I agree. I tend to complain, but I like to think I'm complaining in a funny manner. So, you know, I'll complain about things that go wrong, but not, you know, please pray for me because I'm struggling. I just don't do that.
Right. I mean,
it wouldn't work anyway.
I'm not sure how
I'm beyond being saved.
I'm not sure how I would do it personally, but I know that plenty of people do it. And that's maybe where I'm coming from is the fact that people do post about those things actually what I notice also is when people, they do a couple other things. They remove their account temporarily is a sign, or they just stop using Facebook altogether. You just don't see anything coming from them when they're normally on there all the time.
Right. I think you're right. That's a good sign that people are struggling. Mm-hmm. All right, so to circle this back around, the whole point of this was just to congratulate you on finishing first place.
Thanks.
In your speech contest, the international speech contest in your area, and now you will go on to compete at the division level.
That's right. And if I win, I'm only three speeches away from being the best speaker in the world.
For the international convention, right?
At the third speech would be at the international convention.
Exactly.
So I have two more speeches here in Florida. So potentially.
Is the international convention in Thailand this year? Is that where?
Kuala Lumpur.
Yes. And would you go?
Yeah, all expenses paid. Well, at least.
Yeah, if you're a competitor.
Yeah, they pay for your travel, you know, the airfare, hotel, and convention fee. That's what gets paid.
That would be so exciting.
So I would get that if I win this year. If I don't win, well, I got to still beat at the division, though.
Well, at least take the state. Come on.
I think I have a good speech. I talked to some people. They felt that the content was the proper international speech content, which is make them cry.
In Toastmaster Ease, yes, there's different topics. And this international speech contest, the international denotes of any, you can talk about anything you want to, but it's supposed to be very broad spectrum affecting a lot of things, right? So
if it doesn't have an emotional appeal, for the most part, you're not going to win.
You're not going to win, right?
You have to grab them. You have to grab them by the cojones and make them go, oh my gosh, that's so heart-wrenching.
I was going to say, grab them by the short hairs. But we're going to talk about the short hairs a little bit later.
A little later, we'll be talking about that.
So congratulations. All right, Thanks. Tell us what we're going to talk about today.
We are going to talk about what the hell's going on in the Ukraine. And we woke up this morning to what the hell is going on in the Ukraine. I know. And then we're going to talk a little bunch about fitness because both of us, ironically, separately, didn't even know that we were both doing this. We were out running at the same time.
at my usual glacial pace, so we'll discuss that. But I'm moving.
And the devices that we use to
motivate
us and monitor us.
Or till death. We'll talk about that too.
Okay. And then we're going to talk about something a little crazy. We're going to talk about body hair.
Who has it? Who doesn't? Who wants it? Who doesn't? Where is it?
Yes.
Why is it?
I know. Doesn't that sound like a crazy topic? But it's a topic worth discussing because
frankly as perplexing as the Ukraine, if you ask me, because there's just so many angles.
There's a lot.
All right.
And then tonight, of course, is Oscar night. And we've been talking a little bit here and there about Oscars, but now we can really get down to true Oscar talk.
I'm deciding on if I should have a couple glasses of wine and live tweet it. I might.
Ah, man, that might be fun. All right.
It's going to be more fun with a couple glasses of wine, trust me.
I know I'm going to be drinking tonight. I already know.
No, we've already planned in advance, huh?
Yeah, I have.
Well, it's a day that ends in Y. I'll probably be drinking too, so.
Fuck.
All right, so speaking of fuck, what the fuck's going on in the Ukraine, Judd?
You know, this is really crazy. Let's see here. The Ukraine, apparently, there was a vote of no confidence of some sort and an uprising in the capital, which is, I guess, what, Kiev? Does that sound right to you?
Sure.
We'll go with Kiev. And so anyways, the president of the Ukraine at the time, who was backed by Russia, he was basically, you know, overthrown in a coup.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of. I guess that's the best way to describe it. So there's, imagine if the Republicans and the Democrats were at each other's throat, and then the Republicans took over Washington, D.C., and the president was forced out of the White House and escaped to some West Coast enclave where they are very Democratic or something like that. Like,
right.
Like Denver, Colorado. Wherever.
Democratic in Denver? Okay.
I don't know. Well, it's very liberal-minded, isn't it?
I'd say Santa Monica, California is
okay. That was,
way more
okay, that's,
liberal-minded than Denver, the land of Dick Cheney, right?
Oh, okay.
There's a lot of conservatism in Colorado besides their 420 mentality.
Oh,
but go on.
Okay, good enough.
Yeah.
Well, you know where I'm going.
Absolutely, yes.
So that's kind of an analogy, but in the United States, we have our government gets overthrown potentially every 4 years through the ballot box, and we allow things to go through normal means, and we don't use force and violence to change our government. We use the voice of the people in the ballot box. So
right.
Here, Russia has decided to flex its influence and bring troops over into another country to enforce the standing president and his government. Now, I don't understand. I'm not going to sit here and go, I know the ins and outs of their constitutional situation about how their government's set up. Don't know that at all.
Well, that's the problem. That's what I want to talk about this for, is that I don't know enough. And we've had these conversations about other crises in the world where I'm like, okay, I don't know. I haven't heard the real story. It feels like it's hard to get the real story because when you watch the news, all you see are the pictures of the violence and the protests and this and that. But you don't really hear what the story is. And so my understanding is that the guy that they ousted was sort of, you know, elected probably in a rigged fashion. So they got him out of there because he wouldn't tie into the EU, and people were protesting that. So now, and they've showed all the decadence and ridiculousness of his presidency. Have you seen all of this lavish lifestyle that the man lives? So he's the, you know, Imelda Marcos of the Ukraine or whatever.
Exactly.
So, but those are the things that we hear about. We hear about those, you know, ostentatious, crazy, sensational stories. But I still don't understand. So why does Putin care, and what's happening? So my question to you is this. Where do you get your news?
Well, I'm getting it lately from the Daily Beast,
mm-hmm.
the USA Today, the network TV news, ABC, CBS, some CNN occasionally. I have to tell you, Jake Tapper, he's a good guy to tweet to. He will tweet
from CNN, right?
Yeah, he will tweet you back.
Right.
And it's really him. It's not some what do they call it? Intern tweeting
so
on his
most,
behalf. Yeah.
Would you assume most of your news input is via media that you're reading or watching?
Reading. I'd say the internet is about 2/3. And then, of course, in the morning, I'll watch a little bit of TV, local network TV. And if I'm lucky, I'll catch the 6:30, whatever it is, ABC or CBS evening news. I can't pick
up. I like CBS. I like Scott Pelley.
Uh-huh.
He's pretty handsome.
I bet. See, I watch, you know, what's her name?
Diane Sawyer?
Yeah, Diane Sawyer. She seems credible to me, you know. Whatever.
That's terrible. We're basing our evening news selection on the hotness of the newscaster. That's terrible.
And they're all older. Although I have to say, the interesting thing is, like, Jake Tapper, for instance, and some of the people on Slate and stuff like that, I'm noticing that our age group is starting to be the people reporting the news.
Right.
And so...
And people younger than us are now doctors. So
yeah.
This is the other part that makes life hard.
They better not be lying to me, because they're from our age group, and they lived through this shit that we lived through, which was Ronald Reagan being president and, you know, having that little drop there. The bombing will begin in 5 minutes. Hey, that was
right.
A Russian story, too.
It was all Russian stories during his presidency, right?
So,
so we don't know enough about the Ukraine to talk about it in depth, but I do know enough to know that I don't have a good media source for news. So, yes, I look at MSN.com and I see the crawl, and every once in a while I'll flip over to, you know, Daily Beast. I look at that as well. But I don't know. NPR is probably my best source of news.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that's audio.
Podcasting, absolutely.
And I get that stuff. And then sometimes a little behind the times. If you listen to a podcast, it's a little late, you know, in airing. So,
Wall Street Journal.
I don't know how you stay.
Wall Street Journal.
Oh, that's true. I used to listen to that. I haven't listened to that in a while.
Yeah.
So I guess I know that I need to be more abreast of these situations, but for God's sakes, there's so much data coming in. Sometimes it's hard, right?
It's very hard. And you know what I've been doing is I've got an application/search engine I'm using now, which is DuckDuckGo.
Okay.
And the DuckDuckGo app on your phone is really cool because it'll aggregate all sorts of news sources and you can read
a
variety of news. But what's nice about DuckDuckGo is they don't forward your searches off to advertisers and create little databases, you know, about you.
I thought about you the other day. I heard about the black phone. Have you heard about the black phone?
I did. But, you know, here's the interesting thing. They have to redo an Android phone to get it to be as secure from a data standpoint as your iPhone. See,
so the black phone, for people who don't know, is a phone that doesn't ever trace your whereabouts, your searches. It never does any of those things. Well, it traces it, but it never allows it to be seen, right? All the information stays locked in a server somewhere in Connecticut, I think I heard.
Oh, it's
named the state that it's in.
Oh.
But it is not traceable in any regard. There's no Find My iPhone. There's no nothing. There's no – because everywhere we are with our phones in our pockets, there are signals being sent out to Google – and everywhere else, right?
Well, but let's say this phone, the black phone, from a standpoint of find your phone, you don't need GPS in your phone for someone to be able to find you. The GPS doesn't even have to be on. They just send triangulation from cell phone towers and they find your phone. Done.
Right. That's what I'm saying, though. So, but this one doesn't do that.
Oh, it does. They can't stop that.
Okay.
Because that's the only way that you can make a phone call with a cell phone is for the tower to locate you to send you the signal.
You're triangulated, but it's not specific pinpoint, is it?
Oh, yeah. The accuracy that has gotten...
Well, then fuck it. We're all just doomed.
The only way you can make a real fake phone call is through the internet.
Oh, okay. All right. Good to know.
You know, where you could... You have to fake your IP address and have it bounced off. And there's ways to do things like that. There's some really interesting apps, more for your computer than your phone.
Okay.
But they even...
Oh, good to know.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're really looking...
Never mind. Well, I thought the black phone would be super cool if you were trying to be super secret. Well, you can't even be super secret with that.
Well, I'm sure that's what they do, is that they don't really make a lot of... land-based cell phone calls. They're probably making more data... based calls, just like this Skype call.
Okay. Okay.
You know, this Skype call, you couldn't know where the Skype call originated at unless they are recording the IP addresses.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I'm sure they are.
So.
Can't you hear the black helicopters hovering above us right now?
They're talking about security.
So we've had this conversation before, and we'll make this very quick, but we've talked about the Find My iPhone thing and why you should or shouldn't, or Find My Friends on iPhone or whatever. Uh-huh. And I don't love that shit. I don't think it's fun. I don't need people knowing where I am.
I turned it off.
Yeah. You can see shit on a map about where people are. And not that I have anything to hide. And if I did have something to hide, I guess I'd be saying this too. But I just don't need everyone to know where I am all the time.
Plus, I'm thinking.
Hell, I don't want to know where I am all the time.
I'm thinking that has to drain the battery on your phone every time your friends are like, where's Teresa now?
Yeah.
She's at InBev. What?
Yeah.
Or BevMo.
BevMo. Yeah. Throwing ping up all the time.
What the
BevMo
hell?
Total Wine and More again?
Wow, holy crap. So,
because I'm in the beverage business.
Yeah. That's probably the place I wouldn't be surprised that you're in, or should be in.
Thank God for that, right?
I know. But yeah, from a standpoint of security with that phone, it's okay. Believe it or not, all your data on your iPhone is encrypted as it's placed on your phone.
Okay.
On an Android phone, it's all white, no encryption at all when the data goes on the phone.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's why law enforcement can break into an iPhone without a warrant, just like that. Or they don't have to go to Google to get the information. Like if your locked iPhone, it gets in the hands of law enforcement, they want to get in here, it takes them 3 to 4 months to get a warrant through Apple to get in there for Apple to unlock your phone.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
But you said for an Android, it's instantaneous.
There's nothing that they have to do. They can just get in and get your stuff. Oh. Yeah. And here's the irony of it all is that in order to erase your iPhone, the only thing they have to do is erase the encryption tables on your iPhone, and then there's no way to recover any of the data on your phone because it's all encrypted on your phone.
Wow.
See, that's the reason why it's more inherently secure from the standpoint of how data is stored.
Okay.
If you don't have the data encryption keys, then you can't get there from there.
So I could delete all my boob shots and bar tweets very easily.
In seconds compared to, like in order to erase an Android phone to government, high government standards, you have to run the ones and zeros like you used to have to do it on a hard drive multiple times, and on your iPhone doesn't matter. That's the point.
All right, well then let's table this topic, and along with the Ukraine, based on the fact that I don't know anything about it, and then let's be sure to talk about something else next time that I don't know anything about, which is Bitcoin, because that's pretty interesting too.
Yeah.
And I know there's many layers to that onion that I don't understand, so let's put that on the list for next time.
I'm going to actually put that right now on the list for next time.
Oh, I don't know enough, Jeff. Right.
This I am very familiar with, so
okay.
Bitcoins I could talk a little bit about.
All
so,
right.
Okay, Bitcoins, we are ready for you next week. All right, so exercise. We just did it, and thousands of miles away.
So, okay, two things. Do you amp up before you go out for a run?
I did today.
What'd you do?
I sucked down one of those energy things.
Oh, my gosh! I did a five-hour energy shot before I went out, too.
Mine wasn't an energy 5 hours. Mine was... one of those goos.
Oh, but those are like just carbs. Those aren't, it's not caffeinated, correct?
I think it is. Some of them are, some of them are not. Depends on which one you do. Yeah.
No, I like that. I kind of needed it. It's Sunday morning. It's cold. I wasn't super excited about doing it. So I thought I'll just do this 5 hour energy shot. And within 15 minutes, you know,
no caffeine in that.
In the 5 hour energy?
Yeah.
For me, there is.
No. Take a look.
There's no caffeine, whatever it is. Those.
There's sugar, I think, a little bit of it.
Guarana. No, it's no sugar.
No? Oh, see?
Yeah, no sugar. It's only 4 calories. Trust me, I know.
Okay.
That's how ridiculous I am. I know all that shit. But I think it's the same as doing meth, right? I mean, you get that same feeling that you are on top of the world. You could rob a liquor store. You could do whatever
really?
You want.
Do you feel that way when you take a 5-hour?
Fucking awesome, right? I mean...
Okay, I'm going to go do one here today.
You get the heartbeat
today.
And you get the... Yeah, it's great. I love it. I absolutely love it. I think it's wrong to love it, so I try not to do them often.
So if you do 5 of them in a row, is that a 20-hour energy drink?
No, your heart would explode if you did that, I think, because... Really? Literally, you get the palpitations and the things start thumping, and it's great for that hour and a half that it lasts. It doesn't last 5 hours for me.
But I take them when I go for long drives, like when I go to the Keys or to Savannah, Georgia. I'll drink one
because it's a better source of alertness than to me coffee.
It is.
Coffee's really good too, but I really, really, really like those for that burst. All right, so when I do that, then I feel like I'm, A, giving my cardio a little bit of a bump up, too, because my heart's already racing because of all the chemicals surging through my system. And then you do the exercise, right?
Right.
So I have invested in 2 different tracking things. Now, do you do any heart rate monitors or anything like that?
Nope. Okay.
So because we're always trying... Well, because I want numbers and I want data and I want to make sure that what everything I do is counting for something. I invested in a Fitbit, mm-hmm. which I really liked. The Fitbit was fun. It was small. It was great. The display on it wasn't super informative. So when you tapped on it, you could see based on a certain number of lights how many thousands of steps you've taken. And the goal by wearing one of these Fitbits or this Polar Express thing that I'm wearing – or excuse me, the Polar Loop, not the Polar Express. Children's book for Christmas. The Polar Loop is to determine if you can make 10,000 steps a day, which the powers that be have decided that's the amount of activity that you need to maintain your weight. That's
really?
Not losing anything.
10,000?
10,000 steps a day.
My company only requires 7,000 for us to get our activity points.
See, there's some different takes on that. But 10,000 supposedly just meets the level of maintaining, not losing anything, not anything.
Wow.
So, right? So when you really start monitoring it, trying to get 10,000 steps a day is really hard. Mm-hmm. If you are sitting at a desk for 8 hours a day.
Driving in your car.
If you're driving, it's difficult. So unless you do a substantial piece of exercise, go for a walk, small jog, whatever you want to call it, you're not probably going to get that in today's sedentary society. So, so because I want to beat that, I invested in my Polar Loop because I changed from the Fitbit. And then Fitbit got recalled. Did you hear this story?
I did. Well, the specific one.
That Fitbit Flex.
Which is what I wanted to buy, which is the one.
Get the Polar instead. And let me tell you why.
Okay, tell me why.
Because... The Fitbit was recalled because you're supposed to wear it all the time. You don't ever have to take it off. It's this little bracelet device. I have had both now. And when you don't take it off and you wear it 24 hours a day, and in theory you're wearing it while you're exercising. Mm-hmm. So you're sweating and there's, stuff that happens with our skin and that kind of thing. And if you don't remove it, because it fits fairly snugly on your wrist, it's mm-hmm. been causing, for some people, skin irritation, weird rashes, etc. So they recalled the whole Fitbit Force because the band was causing rashes and problems for people. I personally think take the damn thing off when you are in the shower and clean your arm because that's probably why you're having a rash or skin irritation because you've been sweating and you've trapped goo under there. Doesn't that just make sense? Like you need to... clean all your stuff.
Yeah.
And I also figure that, okay, I'm in the shower. How many steps am I really taking that if I don't wear my Fitbit or my Polar that I'm not getting credit for? It's a nominal amount of steps that I'm not getting credit. So I try to take it off.
You have the Loop.
I have the Polar Loop, correct.
Okay. I see it here.
Thus far today, because of my activity this morning, I've burnt 916 calories that this thing knows of.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also 7,210 steps.
I thought you wear this thing 24/7.
Not all the time. Some things cannot be recorded. 7,210 steps already, and it's not even 11 o'clock here on the West Coast.
Wow.
So I'm feeling good about that for the day.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, and it's a hundred. Well, this is the retail. It's $109.95.
Yeah, it's an investment, but it's an investment in your health.
Where'd you get it?
I don't know, Sport Mart or whatever.
Is that the price, the going rate everywhere?
I think I got $99 is what I paid for it.
Okay, well, that's a good deal.
And I would have stayed with my Fitbit because I took it off and I didn't have the skin irritation, but I lost my dongle. Which is just a fun word to say.
I know.
Enough of hearing dongle. It's the thing that connects to your PC or whatever to upload your information. And I'm sure I left it in a hotel room or something when I was traveling. So I didn't have my thing and was trying to invest in something that a friend has already because she really loves hers. And I thought, well, all right, I'll just switch formats completely and go to Polar. So, and now I have the dongle attached to my computer, so I should be safe.
Well, it's Bluetooth enabled too, so you don't even need to do...
I haven't figured all that out. I don't have the app yet for my phone. I'm old school. I'm just doing one thing at a time.
Does it only do heart rate, or does it also have a pedometer built in?
It has a pedometer built in.
Okay. So it does both.
You have to get a separate heart rate monitor thing to wear that will coordinate to the wristband.
Oh, so it doesn't do heart rate.
It doesn't do heart rate. It does calories, activities, and it bases that on, because you're wearing it on your wrist, so I'm assuming there's some sort of A, motion sensor, and B, probably pulse sensor that it gets when you're elevated in activity.
Because I'm looking at it online, and there looks like there's a little, I don't know, a little circle on the inside, and I was wondering if that's somehow using some technology that's touching your skin, or how somehow...
Hell, I don't know. If you ask me, it's just magic. I don't know how it works.
PFM is always the answer for things. Pure effing magic.
Yeah, right? That's all I know. But that thing is where you connect your dongle. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
And that's what uploads my stuff. So along those lines, I've also crafted myself, I'm not using it at the moment, a stand-up desk. Have you seen these?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
You made it yourself, huh?
Well, yes, I went to IKEA yesterday, and I should say I didn't make the thing, but because, of course, I can't assemble anything from IKEA with those damn Allen wrenches or whatever they give you. But JP assembled it. And so now I have this platform for my monitor and a platform for my keyboard, and I will be able to stand or sit when I want to work. But for the most part, I'm going to try standing and see if that, A, helps my productivity, B, keeps my step count up, C, just kind of keeps you alert. You know, I think it might be an interesting way to work. So,
yeah, I could see.
So those are my commitments to health.
Yeah, and my work, it's now an option if you want the stand-up work.
Work desk,
yeah.
There's a very expensive version of a thing called Veridesk. Is that the one that your company's offering?
I don't know. One person I know has it, but I know that it's becoming the up-and-coming thing.
It is a thing, right? Yeah. And if you're on SkyMall, they have it there, too. And I was looking in that catalog, and it's $300 for the Veridesk.
Just get me a better chair, damn it.
You want a better chair? Oh, ditch your chair. That's the whole point, is to get rid of the chair. In fact, I've got to get rid of mine and maybe invest in like a backless bar stool or something so I won't be inclined to sit because I really do want to stand.
I want one that has cup holders in it. No.
Wi-Fi enabled.
Yeah, you know, stereo. You know.
Right, at Starbucks.
Just press a button and Rosie comes over and, Mr. Jetson, what can I get for you?
So that is the excitement behind the Polar Loop, the stand-up desk, all of this to prolong life. And the other thing I want to get is available at myticker.com, which is the Countdown to Death Watch. Have you heard of this thing?
You know, I've heard of this, interestingly enough, from you.
Yes. So I saw this thing on, I don't know, HuffPo or whatever. Huh? And it's the Ticker Watch, T-I-K-K-E-R.
Oh.
And the Ticker Watch, you buy it. Say I bought it today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the wristwatch that counts down your life, right? So what happens is that it's going to put into a bunch of actuary tables information about me. I'm going to tell if I'm a smoker or non-smoker, if I wear my seatbelt, how much I drank, this, that, and the other. And it's going to calculate the amount of hours – essentially, that I have left to live. They're going to send me the watch, and I will wear the watch, and I will literally watch it count down my life. And the theory behind it is that as you see that time ticking away, what would you change about how you live day to day? What would you change about how you behave, how you act, how you, you know, embrace life because
is the battery good? Is the battery good until you die?
Supposedly. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure we won't know for another 40 years if they really work for people. I just love the idea of it because not that I think I'm immortal. I really don't now, especially in my 40s. But I don't think about death. I mean, it's hard to think about what I'm doing tomorrow, let alone, you know, any more futuristic kind of things. So it doesn't, to me, it's not a negative to think about living your life differently now based on the fact that you're going to die. I don't think it's a negative.
Well, like for me, I have 15 more years until I retire, thereabouts.
Okay.
So till I turn 60. So 16 years, whatever. So everything I'm doing right now is on the, and probably I should be looking at every 5 years, but I do have to, at least that's a milestone that I'm looking at. What do I do when I retire? I believe it's, I'll be 60. Am I financially able to retire? What am I going to do?
Okay.
So that is, and then if you're retired, then what do you do with the rest of your life once you retire? Or do you just keep working? Like a lot of people I know seem to, you know, have no life outside of work, so they just keep working.
Well, that's just it. And I think this watch would be a constant reminder that there's so much more to life. Like here's their paragraph on their thing, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Ticker, the wristwatch that counts down your life. Imagine someone told you that you only had 1 year left to live. How would that change your life? For all of us, life comes with a best before date, and one day we'll find ourselves at the end of the line. Gee, are you thinking this is really depressing? But wait, there's good news too. While death is non-negotiable, life isn't. The good news is that life is what you make of it, and oh boy, can it be beautiful. All we have to do is to learn how to cherish the time and the life that we've been given, to honor it, suck the marrow from it, seize the day, and follow our hearts. And the best way to do this is to realize that seconds, days, and years are passing, never to come again, and to make the right choices. Anger or forgiveness? Tick-tock. Wearing a frown or a smile? Tick-tock. Happy or upset? Tick-tock. That's why we've created Ticker, the wristwatch that counts down your life, so you can make every second count. I love the thought of that. It's not morbid to me. And I've had this conversation with several people for the last month or so because I've just been fascinated by it. And a lot of people are very disturbed by it and they don't think it's cool at all. I just think it's a really good way to frame decisions. Is it worth being angry about something when you know you only have 57 more years to live or whatever it's going to be? Is it really worth it?
Well, how about the other thing is what happens if you die and you still have time left on the watch?
If you get hit by a bus, the ticker can't account for that, of course.
I think that you should get, they should reincarnate you and bring you back.
Or at least give you a refund on
your
watch.
Yeah, you get a refund on the watch. If you don't live to the end of the watch, your family gets a refund on the watch.
I don't know. I just think it's interesting, and I feel like
that would sell more watches.
It would probably sell more. If it was a built-in guarantee that you get your money back if you die inadvertently.
Yes, if the actuary tables are wrong.
Yes. Or if all of a sudden you change your habits and, you know, decide to do something more death-defying.
Right. If 420 becomes legal across the country, then the whole thing's going to take 20 years off your life right there.
They go on to say it's not really about how much time you have. It's about what you do with it. A week spent in love and happiness can be worth more than years spent in agony. So, I don't know. I think it would be a nice reminder. I don't know that I'd wear it every day. Maybe if you had it on your bedside table and every night you looked at it and thought, all right, this day is done. Those hours are gone. I'll never get them back again. And did I do the most with it? I don't know.
So here's the question. Is there an app for the iPhone that does the same thing?
There probably is. I didn't look for that. If there isn't, you should make one.
Well, I mean, if you think about it from the perspective of, like you said, if you're not going to wear it every day, but if you have an app that's constantly updating you once a day, you have 540 days or year, or what is it, 54 years left on the planet. What are you, and so many days. What are you doing today to make it better? You know, if every day you got updated with something like that.
I think it's a neat idea. I think we'd all be a little more mindful of what the fuck we do every day.
I'm going to look for one right now. Let's see.
I don't think there's anything wrong with being self-aware that death is going to happen. We all know it. I'm not trying to be sad about things. In fact, I think it's just the opposite. I think it's empowering to know that you only get this one last, you know, 50 years or whatever.
Yeah.
I guess they're only like $79, so.
That's not bad. There is some life counters out there.
There are?
Yeah. You know, I don't think
they're... I just like the idea of it. Mm-hmm. I think it would make me more mindful. I really do. And I should just be more mindful on my own, but I'm not. I need things on my wrist, like my Polar Loop and my watch still. I know I'm antiquated to wear a watch anyway. So, all right. So, maybe next time you'll hear me counting down. It's a Kickstarter thing, too. You can donate to them because they're trying to build this little device.
Well, that's cool. It's pretty neat.
One more crowdfunding thing.
I invested in one of those crowdfunding things, and I received it and bought two of them, and then I didn't like it when I got it.
Well, careful what you support, right?
I know. The thing broke. After I used it like three times, I was like, you know, and then what are you going to do, send it back? So.
Well, we'll end this on this quote.
Yeah.
And in someone that you don't like or profess to not care for or whatever. Or
Dr. Oz?
Somebody else. It says, my favorite things in life don't cost any money. It's really clear that the most precious resource we all have is time. Uh-huh. And that's from Steve Jobs.
Oh,
the guy you claim never did anything for Apple.
No, I don't feel that
way. You absolutely claim that on the podcast.
I just, everyone's like, they talk about him like, he's my god.
No, you don't like him. I know he's not your god.
I mean, let's face it. Everybody says he was an a-hole, so come on. I didn't see the movie.
Sure. Huh? If he's an a-hole, well, first of all, that was Ashton Kutcher, so you wouldn't have known what was going on for real anyway. I know we've discussed Steve Jobs a lot on this show, and talk about somebody who probably could have used this. Imagine what he could have produced if he knew he was going to die in 12 years or whatever.
Well, he knew he was going to die. He had freaking cancer or whatever?
Liver cancer.
Or
that's for damn sure.
So, I mean, and then he refused the kind of treatment that would have saved his life. So he chose to go, in a way.
I guess.
In a way.
Anybody could have not gone. Probably could have been him. All right. Let's talk about a really pressing, important topic.
That's good. I guess this is sort of my topic. It's a topic of body hair. Some people have it, and others don't.
Some don't.
And a lot of people are trying to get rid of it.
There's so many painful ways. Oh, my God.
So I'll tell you a little bit of why I was thinking about this for a couple of reasons. First off, so I'm exercising, right? And I had some knee problems, and I went and bought this KT tape, Kinzio whatever tape that they sell. And I was required to shave my legs in order to put this tape on, unless I wanted to have a hair removal thing occur. Plus, it wouldn't stick very well, so the performance of the tape wasn't going to be good. So I'm like, okay, I'll give this a shot. So I go ahead, shave my legs to put this KT tape on.
Did you use your regular razor? Or did you get little disposables? What'd you do?
I have a razor for taking care of that.
Specific razor. And did you use shaving cream, or did you just soap it up, or what'd you do?
I shaved in the bathtub. Much better. Because I know that there's probably no better way.
Okay. All right. Go on.
Free floating in the tub there. Uh-oh. Something just broke.
It's good to do that because then you have, when you've soaked in hot water, it makes your stuff easier to shave, right?
Yeah. It was the best way. And, okay. So I did that. And I was like, and let me tell you what. I totally get why you ladies shave your legs. Now I have stopped shaving my legs, but it was a one-time thing, and it didn't work, and so
because the tape didn't work, right?
The tape didn't work. Now, I mean,
it
if I was
very painful to remove that tape with your hairy legs, I assume.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have like super hairy legs. I mean, there's people who have extremely hairy body, but so for those of you who don't want to listen to a adult conversation, you could fast forward now because it's going to get very.
It's going to get intimate.
It's going to get intimate here.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Okay. So here's the real question. So we've had this conversation with a number of people, and if you start talking about other places that people should shave, and for both guys and girls, and and one of those places is below the belt. And women, pretty much, I think, in probably the, at least my perception is, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, but most women, if they don't trim, if they don't completely shave, they trim very well in that area, try to keep it as neat as possible.
I think you're probably right about that. Yes.
You know, that there's some ladyscaping going on.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I would think so. I would think amongst myself and people that I know that, yes, that is it's a definite topic of conversation. Women have it all the time. And yes, most people at this age and younger specifically are doing a little maintenance in that area.
And, I mean, from a perspective of a guy who likes to perform oral sex on a lady, you just don't want to get a hair full of hair in your mouth when you're doing that. And so, so this comes to that full circle back to what's good for the goose is good for the gander kind of thing, right?
And you know what's interesting, though, is that from the women that I've spoken to about this, that is not a big deal for women as much as I think men think it is. I guess, yes, we've discussed it. Yeah, it's nice if things are smooth or trimmed or whatever, but it's not a deal breaker like I think it can be for men. Well, I think it's that way for men with women because of porn, right? And I will go on record. I love porn. Porn's fine. I have no porn issues. Porn's great.
Yep.
But because everyone in porn is usually clean shaven or very sparsely haired, I don't know how you'd say that, that I think there's this sort of disproportionate view of how women should look for men because of porn. And I think that that's not fair. And I guess most porn also shows men mostly shaved these days. Or very, very trimmed. Not a lot of...
I don't know. I mean, I know that I've seen both. I've seen both.
Yeah, I get it. And I'm saying that. But the thing nowadays is generally... women are shaved more so than men are completely shaved. And that just seems to be the way it is.
I think that in porn, guys are going that direction as well.
Yes. Yeah.
But here's the thing. If you are performing oral sex, not you specifically, but in general, people...
I have, so go on.
Sure. Doesn't the hair, I mean, it brings body odor, it gets in the way, depending on how large
also,
the guy is.
It also prohibits infection, and it's a natural barrier for your vaginal entry. There are real purposes behind pubic hair, not just, you know, a bummer for guys. I mean, there's a real biological necessity for some of these things. Does it contribute negatively, like you're saying? Yes, of course it can. But I think, you know, in as much as you need to just maintain your hygiene, those things are important. So I know what you're saying. I know exactly what you're saying. I'm not saying you're wrong to want it.
But don't like women, you defeat a lot of that stuff using modern products.
Sure, exactly.
Anyways, so the benefits of hair is, I mean, it's like, you know, men who get circumcised.
Right.
That's, you know, to say that, well, the body should be just natural and that somehow that there's no benefit to that. And we could debate that for years and years.
I was going to say, there's a lot of debates about that, right?
But I'm just saying that there's it can go different directions depending on your philosophies.
So here's the thing. Like, okay, I've done the Brazilian wax, and it hurts exactly as fucking much as you think it would. I mean, it's, first of all, you have to put your dignity just in a box and walk away from it because you're laying on a table in Lord knows all kinds of positions, some stranger is applying hot wax in your genital area and then ripping it out and off with a piece of paper and then immediately applying pressure afterwards with their cold finger or hand. I mean, the whole thing is, it's horrific. It's wrong. It feels wrong when you're doing it. Now, the benefits of having a shaved or very closely shaved genital region, can there be more sensitivity and pleasure? Yes, that's true. That can happen and does happen. But I don't know that the trade-off there is worth that crazy, ridiculous stance you have to take and the pain you have to go through to get there. I just don't. I just, it's not enough for me. Mm. Now.
Well, I could tell you, I've shaved or had my back waxed numerous times.
Uh-huh.
So I know not that sensitive area.
I was going to say, have someone pull hot wax off your scrotum, and then let's have a conversation. That's the case,
right,
then we can talk about it the same, right? That's
right. It's not the same. It is.
But that's much the same as my, we can't talk about abortion because you don't have a uterus kind of thing. Like, until you get a uterus, you really can't talk about abortion. That's my But I've told you my Rudy Giuliani theory about broken windows and shaving my legs, right?
Yeah.
So my Rudy Giuliani theory is this. Rudy Giuliani had a theory that one broken window in a neighborhood means the neighborhood can quickly escalate to go downhill very, very fast, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one day without shaving my legs is my broken window. Like, if I don't shave my legs, then I'm not paying attention to what I'm doing. I'm not probably going to dress very well. I'm going to probably overeat because I don't give a shit. So I have to shave my legs every day based on my Rudy Giuliani broken window theory. So it doesn't make a lot of sense, but that's what I do. But legs are different. And for women, it's more expected that your legs would be shaved. So, and for us here in America, that our armpits are shaved. So mm-hmm. those things are kind of no-brainers, and I've been doing that since I was probably 14 years old. The genital region is a little, you know, more sensitive to talk about right. and to work on. But yeah, I mean, I think keeping things neat and tidy is important for both sexes. I think that's what you're indicating.
Right. I'm not saying you got to, like, completely shave, like, especially for guys, because, I don't know, guys don't care. That's what I've kind of come to the conclusion that
About themselves.
Yeah, about themselves. Yeah. You know, they're like,
they're not getting any more specific pleasure based on that, I don't think.
Right.
Yeah.
So, which is interesting.
Do you have any sense or opinion about the whole, okay, because I've heard for women, people who are anti-shaving or trimming, is that they think that that's a very strange thing to do, to shave or trim, especially to be completely hairless in your genital area, because that's sort of like what you are when you're a child. And
I've heard that argument.
And there's that weird, are you really attracted to a 9-year-old kind of thing? I don't know. I don't think that's the keys. I don't think that's why men want women to be shaved for the 99.9%. I think men are visually stimulated.
That's exactly
they see what they're looking at or doing. And
that's
all about, right?
It's all a mystery. That whole area is a complete mystery. And even when they see it, when a guy sees it, it's still a mystery. They're like, okay, there's no way for a guy to even, you know, it's every time it's, you see it and you're like, oh, you know, angels are singing and shit. So.
Hell, it's still that way to me every time I see it, so I don't know. And I don't blend. I don't know. I don't have an operator's manual.
So that's why guys like to see it, that's all. But, I mean, you know, there's women who will do, you know, in the specific area and then on top in the
Oh, hell, people
bikini,
will make shapes out of it.
Right,
I mean, I don't understand that. I can't think about that.
Playboy
that
bunnies and
yes, bunnies and hearts, like you said, and the whole landing strip versus Brazilian mm-hmm. debate. I mean, I guess here again, first world problems, right? Like, that we can even discuss this. It's pretty indicative of the fact that we have nothing better to do. Lord knows I can't speak intelligently about the Ukraine, but I can tell you all about the Ukrainian woman who ripped the hair off my vagina at one point.
I hope everybody's drinking something right now, because you will enjoy this podcast much better at that point.
Drinks after we hang this up. But do I prefer someone who's shaved a little bit? Yeah, why not?
Sure.
Yeah. And I think that indicates that you have a little, I'm caring about what I look like, right?
Right. Well, that's the whole thing, you know.
But is it a deal breaker? No.
Well,
especially when you're married, it's like you take it as it comes, you know?
Hey, I actually have one other thing I'm going to talk about because I joined a club the other day that I found on Facebook.
Oh dear.
The Dollar Shave Club.
Oh, good to talk about. Yes, JP wants to join.
So I spent my $6 and I got my razor and my 4 razor blades in the mail, just like they said.
Yeah.
No additional fees. It comes in a nice little brown flat pack type thing with the razor. And their options are 2 razors for a dollar. Uh-huh. Well, you get 2 blades, and that's their dollar package. I bought the $6 package, which comes with 4 blades in a head. Which
nice.
Is like, it's in between the Mach 3 and the whatever
I'm
that
telling you,
other one
the
is.
The money you guys spend on razors and razor blades, I have to mortgage my home every time it's time to, you know, restock those goddamn Mach 5
yeah.
blades. How many blades do you need? I don't know exactly what exactly you're shaving off up there on your faces.
I know. Exactly.
It seems like it needs to be 7 blades worth.
I know. So
Dollar Shave Club seems like a really good idea.
So it is a good idea. And so that's the one I have. There's one better set of blades, which I think has like 7 blades or in the head. Excuse me, or 6 blades in the head, which I'm like, I don't need that.
I know. All right, so now you're smooth as a baby's bottom.
Well, you know, I was going to tell you about how well the blades work and everything. Now, what I was using before is the Mach 3, the one that vibrates. Which,
thank God.
I'm telling you what, I love that razor. It's just expensive as hell.
A shaking razor on your face. How does vibration help that?
It's only micro vibrates.
Then what's the point?
Because it just it's enough to so it doesn't snag the hairs on your face when you're shaving. Okay. And but this razor worked pretty well. I'm going to have to give it it's reasonable to use as my day-to-day razor. Occasionally I have to go back because underneath my nose it's hard with that many blades to get it to shave really well over there. But for everything else, it seems to be a reasonable replacement just to get used to not having the thing going on.
Well, good for you. I'm glad to hear it. It's funny. We were just talking about Dollar Shave Club, so I'm glad you remember.
And you can change from once a month to once every 2 months. So that means then it's only $3 a month.
Can't beat that.
For blades.
And it comes right to your house?
Comes right to your house. You don't even, it's it just auto reorders on its own. So I'm going to they're going to send me, I think, a pack of, I don't know how many I get next month, but I'll probably get one more month for the $6 and then I'll shift to that other every 2 months.
Ooh.
That's my plan right now. And then, and you can quit at any time and you can change to the dollar blades if you want, or upgrade, downgrade, however you want. So they do that. They're kind of lifestyle oriented, where they're trying to build their brand to make.
Right.
Yeah. So it's a little
funny. No, and they're definitely marketing to people via podcasts and internet. I mean, that's how you're hearing about it. So cool.
So yeah, we should see if we can get them as a sponsor. That'd be awesome.
As hairy as you are, Judd, they probably could.
Man. they tell you, well, get your girlfriend or wife one of their blades. So, you know, they could use afterwards. But just don't share the back and forth the blades. They think you should have your own.
That's sad that they have to say that, yeah.
So, yeah.
All right.
Okay.
All right, have we beaten the body hair topic?
I think we're pretty well shave that one to death. Yes.
All right, good. We're smooth.
Like, okay, our final one is Oscar talk. The Oscars are tonight.
Hey, are you going to don a tuxedo?
You know, I don't know if you got the email, the text I sent you, where you could have posted a picture of yourself in your greatest attire, and they are going to take people from their tweets of their picture, like in a tuxedo or whatever, and they're going to get celebrities to pose with your picture. And they're going to post those online. So I don't know how many people did it. I was going to do it, but I didn't do it. And I know. And I thought that would be so fun if I did. But then I'd be like totally embarrassed if you know, some celebrity stuck there.
What if Angelina Jolie was standing right next to you in the picture? How fun would that be?
Well, yeah, until they, like, you know, put their fingers in your ears and do all sorts of funny things to goof on you. Hey, here's those goofy fans. Screw
them.
So
will you start tuning in at 4 o'clock or whatever that pre-show is to watch the red carpet, or do you only watch the show?
I pretty much just watch the show. I like the opening. And Ellen's going to be doing it, so I think Ellen is okay. She's okay.
Ellen's fine. She'll be great. I liked Seth last year. He was not appropriate, which is what I liked about him. Mm-hmm. I thought Seth MacFarlane did fine. But yeah, Ellen will be good. Like you said, the opening's always good. I'm hoping that because of the recent success with Jimmy Fallon taking over the Tonight Show, I don't know if you've been watching or hearing about that.
I haven't
and
watched
it. And it used to be Johnny Carson was the host of the
Oscars
for so long. Bob Hope did as well. But Carson hosted it quite successfully for a long time. And I'm wondering if maybe they couldn't just give that to Fallon in the future and let him just run with it like Carson did.
I don't know how that works these days because now they're so network-oriented.
It's always on ABC, right? The Oscars?
They have a lock on that thing, I think, for the next forever.
Yeah, you're right. It's true. It doesn't rotate. Like, the Super Bowl rotates from network to network. But
I think that does. But but it seems like the guy who would really get the job at this point would be, what's his name? The other Kimmel.
Who would be good, too. But I just think it's in that keeping with the Tonight Show tradition.
Right.
I like Jimmy Kimmel.
You know what I like about Kimmel is that he just seems like a down-to-earth guy. Yeah, I mean, we know what he's about. He's about beer and women and stuff. But he never makes his guests feel uncomfortable and feel like that they've come to be beaten up on his show.
Oh, absolutely. I think he's very, down-to-earth is a good way to describe him, I think.
Yeah, so. And I think that's, the Golden Globes, you don't want that. You want them to all feel like they've come to get the shit beat out of them, the Golden Globes.
Oh, yeah, they know they're going to get insulted. It's a roast.
It is totally
more than
a roast.
An award show. All right, so let's make this quick and fast.
Okay.
Best picture, your choice. What's going to win?
Wow. You know, I saw Gravity, and I thought, wow, that was a pretty amazing movie. And have you seen it?
I've seen Gravity, yes.
Okay, so then you know there's the Wall-E scene in the movie. I just laughed when I saw that.
I was going to say, I don't remember that Wall-E scene.
The
Wall-E
scene with the fire extinguisher in outer space.
Oh, yes.
I said, they stole that from Wall-E.
Wall-E, right? All right, so you're saying Gravity's going to win Best Picture.
No.
Lay it out there.
I know. Damn it. What was the other one that I saw that I did think was really good? Damn it. What are the nominations? Damn it.
Gravity, 12 Years a Slave, American Hustle, Philomena, Her, Nebraska, and what am I leaving out? Wolves of Wall Street, right?
Oh, well, I think Gravity is going to get it then. Because it was...
It is the favorite right now in Vegas. I guess the odds are on. I'm saying that 12 Years a Slave is going to win. I haven't seen it. I'm sure it's amazing. I probably won't see it because it's too distressing. I just think maybe it's time for Oscar to go to... one of those movies again.
I think what was so amazing about the Gravity was all of the weightlessness in everything and the way that it was shown. I was just, I was like, how did they do this? I mean,
so maybe that'll be the split. They'll give that Best Director or whatever, and then they'll give 12 Years a Slave Best Picture.
Oh, yeah.
I don't love that they have so many in the category. I thought American Hustle was great.
Yeah, there is a lot. American Hustle, I do love that. And that was also very good. But I haven't seen all the movies in here. Like, Her is another movie.
Yeah, I'd like to see it.
Yeah. So actor, here's your things. Christian Bale for American Hustle, Bruce Dern in Nebraska. He's kind of the favorite to win, actually.
Yeah, because he's an oldster, yeah.
Leonardo DiCaprio, I'd just like him to win one because he hasn't won one yet.
He hasn't won one, and he's done some really great movies, and he seems like a nice guy.
I think Matthew McConaughey's going to win it. I think he's also probably more apt to win it this time because he lost all the weight to do this.
I think you're right. He won the Golden Globe. I think he's a little bit of an odds-on favorite. Yeah.
So that's who I'm thinking.
Do you think the Oscars should be based on the performance that year or the body of work? Because I know a lot of people...
The performance that year.
It's what it should be, but I think a lot of people don't do that, which is why if Bruce Dern wins, that's why.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, if Leonardo DiCaprio wins, that's probably why he should win.
I haven't seen that. I haven't seen the movie, though.
Yeah. All right, we shouldn't talk about this anymore. We should just watch the show.
No, no. But here's the thing. Tom Hanks wasn't even nominated, and I heard that he gave the performance of a lifetime in
Captain Phillips.
Yeah. So, actress in a leading role, Amy Adams, Judi Dench, Kate Blanchett, Meryl Streep, and Sandra Bullock.
Kate Blanchett in Blue Jasmine was phenomenal. I thought she was great.
That's what I've heard. I've heard, in fact, that...
Meryl Streep is just an obligatory nomination because she was in a movie, so they got to put her on there. Sandra Bullock was really good in Gravity, and she's sort of a one-woman show for the most part in that whole movie. So
it's her movie.
It's her movie. More so than The Blind Side was, even, which she did win the Academy Award for. So I guess she could win.
I have to say that I was emotionally touched by Gravity. There was a point where I kind of felt choked up in that movie. So
I agree. I thought it was very powerful and visually very. I love that it visually made you realize just how small we are in the universe. You know, you're just this little speck floating through space.
Well,
even here on Earth.
You know, there's that point where you ask yourself if you knew that there was a pretty good shot that you were going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Would you just let it go?
And she keeps fighting, and I like that.
And what do you have to live for? And it asks these questions in this movie. And I think for a lot of people that they day-to-day wonder that question.
Sure.
And so I think it resonated to a lot of people. But Amy Adams, she's hot. And
oh my God, her boobs should win for, you know, best unsupported actresses because she never wore a bra in that whole goddamn movie and she looks amazing.
I don't know how she did it. It's amazing. Right. Yes. Yeah. She's and she had a, you know, she pulled off this accent and all this other stuff. I mean, it was just
it was a movie
about people acting.
Yeah. And they were great
and
in
they
it.
They were great. So, we'll do two more. We'll do the actor and actresses in supporting role.
Okay.
So, let's see here. We had Jonah Hill in Wolf of Wall Street. And then you got Michael Fassbender in 12 Years a Slave, Bradley Cooper, Jared Leto in The Buyer's Club. Yeah. And then this other guy, Barak Abdi in Captain Phillips. I kind of like the fact that Jonah Hill wanted to be in that movie so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear that story?
I have heard that story, yes.
He said that he would take, like, almost no money. I don't know what it was. It was like 100.
He just wanted to be in the movie,
What do I have to do to be in this movie?
Yeah. I think Jared Leto's going to win this one. I think he, apparently in that performance, is really phenomenal. I think I think that's supporting actor and actress. They always kind of do that avant-garde thing. The Marissa Tomei's, you know,
mm-hmm.
kind of weird awardments. So I think Jared Leto will get it.
Okay. And our final one is supporting actress, Jennifer Lawrence, mm-hmm. and Julia Roberts.
Yeah.
Those are the two that we would know. The other ones, I don't know. Sally Hawkins, Lupita Nyong'o in 12 Years a Slave.
Yes.
And June June Squibb in Nebraska.
Yeah.
An older lady.
I think June Squibb might win it again. I think it's that let's award it for... being on the fringe a little bit, mm-hmm. and apparently a great performance.
Can we do one more?
Yeah, let's talk about song.
Oh, okay, song. And I was going to say animated film.
Oh yeah, what's the animated one?
The Croods, Frozen, Despicable Me 2, The Wind Rises, and Ernest and Clandestine.
Oh, it's got to be between Frozen and Despicable Me 2, don't you think?
I'm thinking. And I'll tell you what, I haven't seen Despicable Me 2, and I really would like to, but I love Frozen. I am a Frozen fan.
It's become a phenomenon now, right? And so there's already Frozen sing-alongs and Frozen's. It's just, it's quite the thing. It's a thing.
And I don't know why. That one, that particular movie is really, I'm just all about it.
Yeah, it's a good movie, so I think it should win.
So, yeah.
The Croods, I heard, was good. Despicable Me is very good, has a strong cult following as well. Those little minions are all over the place.
Oh, yeah. And the song Happy?
Yes. Which is nominated. Let's talk about the nominated songs.
Okay. So, let's see. Music, original song. Okay. Happy by Pharrell Williams, Despicable Me 2. Let It, which I love. And Let It Go from Frozen, which I love that one too.
Is that the Idina Menzel?
Yeah.
Yes.
But the music by, and lyrics, by Christian Anderson Lopez and Robert Lopez. I'm not sure which one that they will use as the one. Because it's sung by the actor, the voiceover actress.
Right.
Which I actually like that version better than the other one.
Oh, interesting.
For me. And let's see. The Moon Song from Her by Karen O and Spike Jonze.
Okay.
Ordinary Love from...
Such a great song.
From and that's from Mandela, Long Walk to Freedom.
Yeah, the only thing about that movie that's nominated is a song. And, of course, I'm a diehard U2 fan, so that doesn't hurt. I was a little surprised that U2's never won an Oscar before.
Yeah, that is...
And I don't think they're going to win it this year based on that competition.
Is it about pop, or is it about the emotion? See, I think the thing about... I haven't seen Despicable Me 2, but Let It Go is integral to the movie.
Right.
It's almost, it's like a musical. If you don't have that music, you don't have that movie.
Right. So is that what should make it win versus the song that they play at the credits at the end of Despicable Me 2, which had nothing to do with the movie.
Right.
Yeah. And the same for the U2 song, right? It's
right.
Really, yeah.
I mean, it's like a homage to this great movie, but it's not, you could pick any song out.
Yeah. And made it different. You're right. The Frozen song is part of the movie, so it feels like it inherently should win.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
And that's my reason for it, but not because, I mean, like I said, I listen to Happy a lot of times just to pick up my mood.
Yeah, it's a good song.
Yeah.
And that U2 song is really great.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
All right.
So I think that's pretty good. You should download the Oscar app if you haven't done it, and you can vote in advance, and it'll give you your hits and misses as you play.
Maybe I'll do that. That would be fun.
So I'm going to do that here in just a little bit. Right now, they actually have social mentions. If you go to Oscar.com, you can see Jennifer Lawrence has 23,900 mentions right now.
Wow.
Leonardo DiCaprio is falling a little behind with 20,300 mentions. So... Yeah, that's quite the interesting thing. They're checking social media for, you know, how...
Meanwhile, war in Ukraine, but here we are. Yeah. How many mentions does Leonardo DiCaprio have?
Amy Adams, she's only got 790 mentions.
But her boobs.
But she has, yeah. But, you know, if someone adds that, boobs, Amy Adams boobs, I'm sure we can get her trending.
It'll at least go by two.
Well, I will try to get this podcast up online here today. So, but if not, it'll be up by tomorrow.
All right.
Well, we talked about the Ukraine and...
what we don't know.
What we don't know. We do care. We just don't know why we should care.
We do care. So terrible as human beings. We sort of care.
Yeah. Especially when people get sent there from the United States to go fight World War III.
Yeah, that's scary shit.
And then, let's see, we talked about fitness monitoring and all that great stuff.
And counting down to death.
Mm-hmm. And then we had our little PG-13 R-rated body hair conversation.
Where we both divulged what we've shaved and not shaved. And then we participated in oral sex.
Oh, I can't believe we divulged.
Now it's out there.
It's out there. Wow. We're going to all get busted by the UCMJ for Article 15 violations.
Yikes.
I know. Nobody's been busted for that.
15 violations. That sounds like something that happened in the Urban Dictionary to me.
I know. And then we talked about the Oscars.
Yep. Who we think's going to win?
I think we nailed it.
I think so.
I do. Okay. So anybody can be an Oscar picker, or Oscarologist, as I heard it called today on TV.
That's cute. I like that.
Yeah. For TJ Talks, I'm Judd.
And I'm Teresa.
And we will talk to you later.
Talk to you later.
But here's the thing. If you are performing oral sex, not you specifically, but in general, people...
I have, so go on.
Sure.